Amen? So today's message is titled, Opposer Aware. Opposer, and I put a big dot in there because he's not only an opposer, he's a poser. He's a poser, you know? And I want you to be well aware of his schemes today as we share into this. So we're going to start by talking to Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. And it says, Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. I want to tell you that Satan is always a step too late. He is, and we read this in John chapter 8, he's a murderer from the beginning. But he was trying to snuff out the deliverer of the Jews, the Messiah. All the babies less than 2 years old. And this is very consistent with his tactics. He's trying to oppose God by removing that which can potentially bring salvation to others. Amen? And he's trying to oppose the spirit of Christmas, the true spirit of Christmas this day. This is what the scriptures call the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist. Anti, which means opposed. He's the opposer. Come on. There's a spirit whose only purpose is to oppose, to deny, to misrepresent, to discredit, and to confuse who Jesus is. Are you getting this? Just like it happened with Moses. While Satan knew that the deliverer was coming, he didn't know who the deliverer was going to be. So he was trying to kill the babies back then. Satan knows prophecy. Did you know that? Satan can read. He knows what's coming. He knows about the end times. But he doesn't know exactly how it's going to happen. He's not privy to that. Amen? Hallelujah. It had been prophesied that God would deliver the Hebrews from Egypt 400 years prior. After they arrived, you know, when they arrived to Egypt. And Jesus said that we're not privy to the day nor the hour, but we can read the seasons, can't we? We kind of know something's happening. Well, the devil can too. He did not know who the Messiah was, but he could see the assembling of angelic forces, come on, in Israel, preparing the way for Messiah. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. There's great warfare ensued because the Messiah was about to come into the scene. Satan's intelligence gatherers could see that he would be born, you know, 30 years prior, and that he wanted to make it dead on arrival. He wanted to make it dead on arrival. If there's no Jesus, there's no salvation. I don't know how that's going to happen, so we need to stop this. Come on. So he's trying to oppose what God was trying to do. We know the Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's trying to steal your salvation. He's trying to steal your faith. And he's trying to rob you, ultimately, of your eternal life. This is a game to the death. But praise God that he's always a bunch of steps ahead of Satan. He's always a bunch of steps ahead of him. Satan could not stop Moses, and he could not stop Jesus from coming. Amen. God ensures that the ram in the thicket is available. And come on, the ram in the thicket is available today. Hallelujah. But he has sent the spirit of Antichrist to oppose Christ's work in you. So we've been talking about vision, and this is part of our vision series. And we must keep our eyes on Jesus, but we must also watch out for the enemy. Like in the days of Nehemiah, he said, well, we rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. I want you to have a ladle on one hand, applying some mortar, but the sword in the other, looking out, in case the enemy comes. So you got to continue to work and build a kingdom, but you're watching out for that which opposes the work of God in your life. Because he's after you. He's after your family. Amen? Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. With truth. We need the truth of God. We don't want a counterfeit Christmas. We want the real deal. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Come on, the enemy is cunning, and we know he's tricks. So it would be easy for me to just give you another message which warms your feelings today. It's very easy to do that. I struggle with this. I've been praying, Lord God, is this really the message you want me to bring? And he said, no, this is the message I want you to bring. Bring them a steak. They can have dessert later. Is that okay? Come on. Hallelujah. He wants to warn you about the spirit of Antichrist as we look go into the Christmas season. It is John the disciple which writes about him in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 22. Look what it says. First of all, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he or she who does the will of God abides forever. Hallelujah. In this room, there are some who have competing affections. You have not set Jesus as number one in your life. You love God, but you also love this world. But the Bible says that God is jealous. He's jealous for his people. He's jealous for you. He loves you so much. He says that one cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve, riches and God at the same time. You have to choose. You have to choose. Verse 18, and this is the tone that I want to have with you today. Listen to me, please. I want a lighthearted, loving, tone with you today. Little children, it is the last hour. Let me say, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, those that oppose, by which we know that it is the last hour. Be aware of the opposer. Be opposer aware. Be aware of the devil's schemes. He's more cunning than you think. And he's not just here to make your life difficult. He wants to see you in the grave, and you and every one of your loved ones and all your friends and our nation. He wants us completely and utterly destroyed. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. But if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. He's talking about people who, while they were not the Antichrist of the end times, there's some people that had the spirit of Antichrist opposed what Jesus was doing. The increase of the kingdom in the new church. John is saying some infiltrated us, just like Judas Iscariot, but they weren't really with us. Satan's intent was to create a counterfeit that would then lead many astray. Sometimes he infiltrates so that then he can deviate. This is why I cannot just preach happy sermons all the time. I have to warn you. Little ones. I must warn you to stand guard for you and your family. But look at what verse 20 says. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Let me say that again. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This message is being heard all over the place in our media. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So the role of the spirit of the Antichrist is to deny, to oppose who Jesus is. So I want to finish today by giving you three strategies that the spirit of Antichrist uses. Number one, we already talked about it. The Antichrist opposes. The Antichrist opposes. And this is the most direct approach of the enemy. He tries to kill the seed, kill the baby, deny the truth blatantly. It's not true. It's not real. It's just fallacies. Come on. We read earlier in 1 John 3:23. Whoever denies the Son, it's 2:23, does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. There is no name that is being so aggressively and extraneously opposed like the name of Jesus. Come on. His name is used in vain in almost every movie or TV show that you watch these days. It is not politically correct to say Merry Christmas. In the army, Christian chaplains have to pray simply by saying, in your name we pray. But they can't say, in Jesus' name we pray. Separation of church and state, they say. But really, there's no war against any religion except against Christianity. Because there's one name that has the power. There's only one name that can save. There's only one blood which has paid for all the sins. That is of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is the devil's strategy when people say, don't talk about politics or religion. The truth is that Satan is not trying to stop politics or any other religious talk, except that when Jesus' name is spoken, he's the only one who claimed to be a deity and proved it with his power. Come on. He was then seen by hundreds after resurrection. We know he resurrected. There's historical accounts. Hallelujah. And we know his power in our lives. Look what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And this is Peter replying to the Sanhedrin. Come on, he should have been afraid for his life. Why wouldn't he just say anything to make them happy? But he knew. He had been a witness of Jesus. And he said, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Come on. And later on in Acts 4:18 it says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. This is the spirit of the Antichrist in full, manifestation here. Let me say that again. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And that's what's happening today. You can talk about any other name. We can include any other religion in our political gatherings. We must teach it in the schools, but don't say Jesus. Don't say Jesus. They want to take Jesus out of Christmas. There is only one name that has the power and the life, and that is Jesus. And then there's a spirit that opposes it. About a year ago, these videos began to surface on YouTube about, how... You go to all these search engines like Siri and Google and Alexa. And I don't know if anybody's seen any of these videos, but they would ask it, hey, who is Muhammad? And they would say, oh, Muhammad is the prophet of Islam, blah, 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 blah. And who is Buddha? Oh, he was Sitama Gautama, or something like that. And he did this and did that and did this. And this is what the Buddhists believe. Okay, and then they would say, then who is Jesus? I'm sorry, I'm not ready to share that answer. Well, who is Jesus Christ? I'm sorry, and I watched video after video after video, and there was all these people that was putting them out, and I was like, is this really real? And so I think that they noticed that we noticed, because I think they changed it. So I'm going to try it right now. Is that okay? All right, let's see. Alexa, who is Jesus Christ? Thinking.
Here's what I found on Wikipedia. Jesus, also referred to as Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus Christ, was a Jewish preacher and religious leader who is the central figure of Christianity. Christians believe him to be the Son of God and the awaited Messiah, Christ, prophesied in the Old Testament.
I think Alexa got saved. Siri, who is Jesus? Jesus Christ. This is with Jesus. No, I don't want Jesus Gutierrez's contact information. Who is Jesus Christ?
Okay, check it out.
Oh, so he just gives you a pop-up. I want you to tell me, not read it out for me. He basically got a pop-up from Wikipedia and said, hey, here, this is what. So that looks like they have changed. You know, they probably noticed that we noticed that when people would ask about Jesus, you know, it wouldn't give you the answer. And it wasn't just Siri and Alexa. The Google search engine was doing that too. When you did it out loud, not when you typed it in. Isn't that crazy? So you're welcome to look at those videos. Just look up like Siri and Jesus or Google and Jesus. And they all came out around October to January of last year. Anyway, but you see, there's no name being opposed except the name of Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. All right, the second strategy that the Antichrist uses, he discredits. The Antichrist discredits. He says, no, he didn't do that. Did you know that Harvard University, the super progressive, and Lev Leonid University is started as a Bible school? It was started in 1636. And was named after a clergyman named John Harvard. Later, and the motto of the church originally was Christo et Ecclesia, Christ and Church. That was the motto of Harvard University. Later, they changed it to Veritas, which we know it means truth. But did you know that most, if not all, of the oldest universities in the Americas were founded by Christians and were largely Bible schools? Every profession was taught in the light of the scriptures originally, but it was slowly taken away. Take away the name of Jesus. A great number of the oldest and most renowned hospitals in the United States were also started by Christians and churches. Did you know that? Come on. The United States has been the most giving nation in the history of the world. Why? Because Jesus taught us it is better to give than to receive. Come on. It says in 1 Corinthians, he wants us to abound in every grace for every good work. He's made us givers. It says in the first days of the church that they had all things in common. But if you look at the history that has been taught to our young people, and I cringe for our young people, they're told Christians are fundamentalists. Christians, you know, are this right-wing Nazis and fascists. They're what's the word they use? Misogynists and homophobic and all these things. Why? Because Satan tries to discredit, you know, the Christ and the work of Christians in the history, and is being constantly rewritten in the history books. And the media has a large part in it. Satan seeks to discredit. You know, Christmas is not what it used to be. Going back 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, some of you probably remember that. Some of you here. Some of you have been married longer than 50 years, so I assume you were here a little bit longer than that. But you remember, you could go anywhere and say Merry Christmas. The whole city was about Christmas. Now you have to be sensitive and careful. They don't call it Christmas Exodus. Then they started calling it Exodus. And now they call it holiday block leave in the military. Come on. Wow. Holiday party, not Christmas party. It's happening. You know, when Jesus cast demons out, he was discredited. The spirit of Antichrist moved through the religious people and they credited Satan for what he had done. It happened to Jesus, it's happening to us, people. Jesus said, you know, The steward is not greater than his master. If they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. Luke 11, verses 19 and 20 says, and if I am empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? He's saying, your own people, you cast out devils. So how come when I do it, you say that it's Satan? But when they do, what are you going to tell them? They cast out demons too, so they will condemn you for what you have said. But if I'm casting out demons by the power of God, then listen, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Hallelujah. Satan is a bully. And our young people cower because in our learning centers, in high schools and colleges, people are taught that Christians are just bigoted and uncompassionate people. And that is not true. Come on. We have the love of Christ in our hearts. Come on. Hallelujah. We're the most giving and generous people there is. Not because of ourselves, but because of the work of Jesus in our hearts. And we will not be ashamed of that. We will continue to love and give to people. But we will speak the truth in love. Remember, Satan is the father of lies. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. But his day is coming. His day is coming, people. Little children, this is the last hour. Little children, it is the last hour. The third strategy the Spirit of Antichrist uses is he misrepresents. And it started all the way in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, when Satan said to Eve, did God really say, just insert a small little lie in there. This, most cases, or in many cases, the most effective strategy of the enemy. It is the one that just adds a little bit or subtracts a little bit from who Christ is. You can still call him Christ. You can still go to church, but we're going to tweak his persona. We're going to tweak what he was about, just a little bit to the left or to the right, just to make it more popular, more appealing, more broad, more acceptable. This is the Christ that continues to morph to the standards of our culture. But I tell you, Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. As a matter of fact, Jesus was the same in the Old Testament than in the New Testament. Some people think that he was a different Jesus. No. He was the same merciful and just Jesus in the Old Testament as he was in the New Testament. Come on. It was just a different way of revealing his mercies. Come on. Psalms 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Did anybody notice that in the same sentence, it has mercy and justice? We say it so quickly. But the same God that gives us mercy is the same God that gives us judgment. Oh, wait a second, you changed the word. Well, that's what justice means, judgment. He's going to judge you. But he's not going to look at you. He's going to see Jesus in you. So that's why he sees you as holy. He sees you perfect. Hallelujah. He has met both ends of the covenant, remember? Because we couldn't keep our end of the covenant. Says, I will go and take care of it for you too. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does this make sense, what I'm saying to you? We are saved by grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9 says, not of works, so that no one may boast. But you know what? There are some churches, there's some cults, there's some people that are adding to the work of Christ. They're trying to bring in people through works. If you do this, if you do that, if you do this, if you do that, then you will be saved. Then you will be acceptable to God. But no. You are saved by grace. You are saved as a free gift. Come on. Jesus' sacrifice was perfect once and for all and for all mankind. He paid for all the sins of the present and the future, but also even the ones in the past. Hallelujah. His work atoned not just for the ones that were there with him, but also the ones in the Old Testament that had believed in him. And then he took him to heaven. Hallelujah. This is where the misrepresentation occurs. He misrepresents. If he's a loving God, how about going the other way? Then I can live with some excesses. He loves me just as I am. I can get away with a few things. If he's a loving God, you know, And I'm going to be very straight. Our culture is being attacked by all kinds of, you know, lifestyles that we have to accept. And you know what? We're all sinners. But the fact is, homosexuality is a sin. Did I say it? Yes, it is a sin. And they need salvation like the rest of us. And one day I'm going to do a whole message on this because I think I need to. But I don't have the time to do that. But I want to tell you that just like any of us, if you're prideful about it, then he will not give you mercy. But the Bible says if you humble yourself, he will dole out mercy to you. You know, say, I'm sinful. I need you, God. Just like with any other sin. Lord God, I don't want to do this thing. I'm trying hard. I just don't know how to get away from it. But if you would just help me, God, then he says, okay, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Come on. We have to be careful. We can't be careless. And I know I use homosexuality. You think, oh, well, that's way out there. But what about those excesses that sometimes you and I do? It's okay if I curse here and there. Or it's okay if I, you know, cheat a little bit on my taxes. Or it's okay if I backstab that coworker or a little gossip. We cannot morph Christ through our lifestyles. We cannot subtract from who Jesus was. The same God that gave us the cross, which is the method of execution, gave us Jesus. The sacrifice. Come on. We like the Jesus part, but sometimes we don't like the cross part. Even though we put it everywhere, we forget that was a method of execution. That was a method of judgment. But just saying it's been paid for. It's been paid for. And that's why we don't put a person up there, because he's not there anymore. It was done once and for all. Come on. Hallelujah. So let's not add. Let's not subtract to the work of Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is loose in America, and it's going to take the spirit of discernment. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives it to us, the spirit of discernment. Some of you see it left and right, but I'm warning those of you that are not used to discerning the spirit of Antichrist. And you think, oh, that looks all right. No, you got to look at it in the light of the scriptures and say, is God really in that? Come on. We are aware of the opposer and the poser. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. I want to invite you this Christmas, don't settle for the knockoff. Get the real Jesus. Get the real Jesus. How's everybody like your steak this morning? Is that all right? Let's put Jesus at the center of Christmas. Come on. He's the hope of this world. It's not Santa Claus. I mean, he's a jolly guy. He was a good guy. You know, the guy, he would give gifts to the children. You know, he's a good guy. But come on, we need Jesus at the center of it all. Come on. Let's not forget him. Let's teach about him to our children. Come on. And you need to know that Jesus, he's the only mediator between God and man. You need him today. You and I need him today. He's the hope that you have. And that problem that you're having right now, he's the only hope that you have. He's the only hope that you have. It's not going to be the government. It's not going to be your psychologist or psychiatrist or the medication they want to give you. It's going to be Jesus. Jesus is the permanent answer. Jesus comes with a warranty. That's forever. That's forever. Hallelujah. The knockoffs don't come with a warranty. They do not. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to close, and I want to ask everybody to stand up. There is one more strategy that Satan uses that I did not put in my notes, but I want to share with you. The Antichrist postpones. The Antichrist postpones. Next year, after I get through this stuff, after I fix this part of my life, after I deal myself with this issue, after so-and-so leaves, God says today is the day of salvation. We cannot wait. I want you to be hungry for God and for the real Jesus. You know, once you've had a good steak or a good burger, it's hard to settle for some of the fast food joints, isn't it? Once you've tasted the real Jesus, you don't want the other stuff. You don't want the knockoff. You don't want the counterfeit. You want the real Jesus. I want you to have an appetite for the real Christ in you. But I also want you to say now. I want you to run after Him. Don't settle. Don't be wasteful. Jesus said it. If you have a problem with your brother or your sister, hurry and get it fixed. Hurry and get it fixed. Don't wait. Don't wait. Or you may be taken before the judge. You know, don't wait. And some of you today have fallen prey to the counterfeit, to a religious way, but are you hungry for Him? Are you hungry for Him today? Close your eyes and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you if this message is for you. Lord God, I want the real Jesus. I'm hungry for the real Jesus. I don't want just the semblance of Jesus. I don't want just the religious works. I don't want to add to what you do, but also don't want to subtract from who you are, what you are. I want you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. I thirst and hunger for you. I want to recommit my life to you this morning. I got busy with life. I got busy with life and things happen. Interestingly, in this letter to the Ephesians, Paul praises the Ephesians because they were on fire for Jesus. He says, you guys are doing great. You're on fire for Him. But then, 20 years later, John writes to the church of Ephesus, and he says, what happened? You're doing all these good things, but somewhere along the lines, you lost your first love. What happened? It was the same people. Ephesians, you were on fire, but something happened. And we talked about it last week a little bit. It says that sometimes the seed that the sower throws falls amongst the thorns. And the thorns represents the cares of this world, the distractions, chasing after things that everybody else is chasing after. And Jesus speaking through John, the disciple, because really it was Jesus speaking, there in Revelation 3, it says, but go back and do the things you did at first. Go back and do the things you did at first. Get the real Jesus. Go back to Jesus. Father, we come before you today and we thank you that Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. Lord God, and we desire to put off every distraction, every care that has just gotten our attention, our gaze away from you, and we want to refocus on you today, God. We repent, Lord God, of the things that we have fallen into. We repent, Lord God. We turn away from those things, but I thank you that you receive us with a warm embrace. You receive us with loving arms. Hallelujah. Thank you that you've given us the free gift of life. Hallelujah. Father, we turn to you. We recommit our lives to you. Our minds, our hearts, and our bodies belong to you, Lord God. Father, my family, my marriage, my church belongs to you, Lord God, Father. Hallelujah. You are the reason for this season, Jesus. And we want to honor you and give you the best gift, which is our whole heart. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you today. We honor you, Lord God. I pray, Father, whatever is keeping these, Lord God, Father, tied up, Lord God, or bound, or discouraged, Lord God, Father, break it off of them, I pray. Holy Spirit, come into the room now and minister the life that they need, oh God. I invite you, teacher. I invite you, counselor. I invite you, comforter. Come and give everyone as you have, as you see fit in their lives, Lord God. Hallelujah. I declare the Spirit of Antichrist bound in Jesus' name. He has no part in Shiloh. He has no part, hallelujah, in our families. He has no part in this community. We declare, Father, freedom from the spirit of Antichrist. Hallelujah. We don't want counterfeit anything, Lord God. We want the real thing this day, God. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.